Chapter 27 Black and White, Part 1 Words Accident Alley Allow Barely Be asleep Be child's play Be worth Bent Blanket Blood spot Brain Break Bribe Brown Camera Choice Company Cost Count Dose Eat Enjoyed Examined Excuse me Facial Facial expression 5 minute Fully Further Gathered Headache Hid Kick Knee Knife Laid Lunch Manage Microphone Mirror Monitor Obeyed Orgasm Painkiller Passers-by Pavement Percent Percentage Pharmacy Plastic Play Practice Reason Recovered Resistance Robber Rob Roll Rolled Scotch tape Sheer Simply Slight Sold Spot Straightened Tape 35 Twice Urinate Urinated Walk Wheelchair Worth Wound Black and White, Part 1 In a small alley, a group of teenagers got into a drunken fight with a passerby. The passerby didn't want to give them his bag of food. The teenagers surrounded the passerby. They were laughing and shouting. One of the teenagers took out a knife. The passerby immediately gave them the bag. The drunk teenagers began eating the food from the bag. They didn't notice that a policeman came up behind them. The passerby fled. The policeman took out his gun. "Bon appetit," the policeman said. "Now pay for the lunch," he added, and pointed the gun at the teenagers. The teenagers looked fearfully at the policeman. "You have 10 seconds to pay for the lunch," he told the teenager with the knife. "I have no money," the teenager replied, and hid the knife. "You also don't have any brains, even though you have a knife," the policeman said and smiled. "Get down on your knees," he said to the teenager. The policeman liked this situation. He knew how to break people's resistance with his voice and facial expressions. "I'll count to three and shoot you between the eyes." "Three." The teenager fell to his knees. "Urinate on him," the police officer told another teenager quietly. The teenager urinated on the one who was on his knees. The policeman looked attentively at the teenager's faces, the way a master looks at his fighting dogs. He broke their resistance, and they obeyed him completely. He enjoyed their emotions, their fear. He was sure that they were now ready to fully obey him and follow any of his orders. "Get lost," he said so quietly one could barely hear, and hid the gun. The teenagers quickly disappeared, all except one. That teenager went up to the policeman and handed him some money. "How much?" the policeman asked. "I sold 12 doses," the teenager replied. "Why so little, Kent?" the policeman protested, counting the money. "Learn to work faster." "Bye," he told the teenager, and the teenager quickly left. The policeman walked out of the alley and got into his car. He drove one block and stopped at the intersection. On the other side, Stravinsky was rolling a wheelchair down the sidewalk. Rost sat in the chair. They stopped at a traffic light and waited for the green light. Stravinsky looked to one side and saw the police car stopped at the intersection. The policeman looked at them. Stravinsky bent down to Rost and adjusted the blanket over his legs. The light turned green, and the police car moved slowly through the intersection and drove away. Stravinsky rolled the wheelchair through the intersection and further down the sidewalk. The passers-by didn't pay any attention to them, but if one of the passers-by had looked closely at the pavement, he would have seen the blood spots they had left behind. One driver was more attentive. He got out of the car and walked to the sidewalk. He touched the blood drops with his brown shoe and looked after these two people. Then he got into his car and drove on. Night fell. In one pharmacy, the sales clerk lay on the floor. But he wasn't asleep. He was looking at a man who was sitting in a chair. The sales clerk's hands were tied behind his back with scotch tape. Stravinsky sat on a chair and examined the wound on his shoulder in a mirror. The wound was slight. Rost put a bandage over it. "I need to find some money," Stravinsky said. "My son needs an expensive operation." "What about your business? What kind of business is worth the punishment for an escape, Paul? I want to help you with your business if I can," Stravinsky offered to Rost. "My friend is in jail. I want to free her," Paul replied. "Is it a woman?" Stravinsky inquired. "Yes, she is in the Meze prison. It's very far away, in Syria," Rost said. "I want to help you, Paul, but how are you going to do this?" Stravinsky could not understand. "With the help of some money, I could bribe the guards," Rost replied. "Do you have money?" Stravinsky asked. "No, But I think I could get a few million from one bank, Rost explained. Are you planning to rob a bank? Stravinsky inquired. I know one person who would be happy to do it, Rost said. Look over here, he added. Stravinsky got up and walked up to Rost. He looked at the camera monitors that showed both entrances to the pharmacy. A man was visible on one of the cameras. He pulled his jacket over his head and raised his hand. Then he dropped his jacket down and pulled it back over his head and raised his hand again. What is he doing? Stravinsky asked. I've even seen him somewhere. Who is it? This is John Vega. He is practicing. He wants to rob this pharmacy, Paul explained. There is a microphone here, he said, and pressed the microphone button. The man pulled his jacket over his head again and raised his hand. This is a robbery. Put the money in the bag, he shouted. He's coming in. Stand behind the counter, Rost said to Stravinsky. The pharmacy door opened, and a man came in. He saw that there were no customers in the pharmacy. Then he pulled his jacket over his head and raised a hand with a gun. This is a robbery. Put the money in the bag, he shouted, walked up to the counter and threw down a plastic bag. Stravinsky raised his head and looked at the robber. The robber recognized Stravinsky and took a few steps back in surprise. Excuse me, Mr. Manager, the robber heard and turned his head. Paul Rost stood pointing a gun at his head. Could you tell me what emotions does a person feel when he robs a bank that he himself manages? Rost asked and lowered his hand from the robber's head. John Vega looked at Rost in surprise. Rost added, I'm sure that the 5-minute orgasm is one of the reasons for robbing a bank that you manage. Isn't it so, John? Rost? Why are you always following me? What do you want from me? Vega sat down on the floor. Please bandage my hand, and it hurts very badly here, he added, pointing to his stomach. Only then Rost noticed that Vega was also wounded. Vega lay down on the floor, and they realized that he had been badly injured during the accident. Stravinsky bandaged Vega's hand and gave him painkillers. Rost sat down next to him on the floor. How is your son? Rost asked Stravinsky. He had a small operation, but it didn't help, Stravinsky replied. A big operation costs hundreds of thousands. He straightened his clothes. The doctors gave him 3 months. I have 3 months to find the money, Stravinsky said and fell silent. Vega recovered slowly. He opened his eyes and looked around. Rost, why are you following me? Vega said. What do you want from me? We need you to rob your bank again. You robbed it twice already. The third time will be simply child's play for you. You'll get 30%, Rost suggested. I'll get 50%, because it's my bank, Vega protested. It was yours, Rost looked at Stravinsky for support. Okay, 35%. Agree to it, or I'll turn you in to the police for an armed robbery of a pharmacy, he demanded. This percentage is sheer robbery, and I won't allow you to rob a bank that I manage, Vega looked at them. You leave me no choice. He laid his head on the floor. I agree. At that moment, the door of the pharmacy opened, and the policeman who saw Rost and Stravinsky that morning at the intersection came in. Stravinsky stood at the counter. Vega and Rost quietly hid in the service room. The policeman slowly walked toward the counter. He looked around attentively. Good evening. Would you like something? Stravinsky asked. The policeman did not answer. He examined everything attentively. Then he pressed a finger to his lips, took out a gun, and pointed it at Stravinsky. Give me some headache pills, the policeman replied, quietly walking to the door of the service room. He kicked open the door and Rost, who was standing near the door, fell to the ground and dropped his gun. On your knees, the policeman shouted. Rost and Vega got on their knees. The policeman pointed the gun at Stravinsky. Stand over there, on your knees. He also got on his knees. The policeman picked up Rost's gun. The whole company is gathered together. The policeman looked each of them in the eye. You, he pointed to Vega. Tie both of their hands, he demanded. Vega did what the policeman had demanded. Then the policeman tied Vega's hands. New Vocabulary Review. Could you tell me, is today still June, or is it July already? Today is June 30th. Tomorrow is July 1st. Could you tell me, where is the closest bus stop? Walk that way. Walk for about 2 minutes, and you'll be there. Thank you. You're welcome. Last week, there was an accident near the pharmacy. A car crashed into a pharmacy van right next to the pharmacy entrance. Was anyone injured? There were no injured, but some packages disappeared from the pharmacy van. They say that there were drugs in the packages. Yesterday, two robbers robbed a bank on the main street. Were they arrested? The robbery was recorded by a video camera. The police recognized one of the bank robbers as a bank employee. They weren't wearing masks? They wore masks, but that one wanted to urinate on the bank manager, and when he did that, the mask fell off his head. Was he arrested? Not yet. They say that he and the other robber disappeared. Did they take a lot of money? The guards arrived quickly and started shooting. They didn't take anything, but both of them were injured. That man has a frightened expression. Of course, his wife gave birth to triplets. In that case, he should be happy. In that situation, any man would be frightened at first. He will be happy later. They say that if you touch a mirror at midnight, you can see a vampire in the mirror. Not true. I touched it and saw only some kind of a strange monkey. You have to touch and look in the mirror from the back. Which side did you look from, the back or the front? I looked from the front. I wonder, what does it mean if I saw a monkey in the mirror? For a woman, it means that she will go to a beauty parlor soon. And for a man, it means nothing. For them, it's normal. Darling, did you lock the front door when we left the house? I don't remember. Don't bother me and let me enjoy the movie, dear. You're enjoying it and I worry. I think that I didn't shut off the iron. Are you sure? Yes, and I left the window open. We have to go home. Come quickly, dear, so we won't have any problems. Whose plastic bag is this? Not mine. Could it be yours? No, it isn't mine. Maybe there is a bomb inside. I'll take a look. There is no bomb here. There is a microphone and a hidden video camera. Look, dear, the windows are closed, and there is no smoke coming out. It means that I turned off the iron and closed the window. And the front door is locked. We came for nothing. We could have enjoyed the film. And what about the noise in the kitchen? Come on, let's see. Look, There is water up to our knees. I forgot to turn off the water. Look, there was an accident here. The man in the car is bleeding heavily. We must get him out of there and put a bandage on his wounds. We have to give him painkillers. We have them in the first aid kit in the car. I'll give them to him. Quickly, call an ambulance and the police.